And Dad, you can come down from the clouds now and keep the buttons together. Yeah. Good job, Caleb. Thank you. I have a chance to hear some of the other teenage boys here coming up in the next within the next month or so. I'm excited about hearing them as well. So you can see the scripture is from 1 Chronicles chapter 18 through 2 Chronicles chapter 12. That was our reading for our everyday gospel. And I want to go ahead and just pray, and then I will explain in the introduction what my approach is for this morning, okay? Father, we thank you so much for a young man who is willing to get in front of folks and talk about your influence in his life. And that should be true for all of us in the sense of admitting that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. But Father, as we come this morning, we come to this passage of Scripture, this whole idea of what a godly woman is, and I pray that you'll help me to bring that truth home. I thank you for the women who have influenced me in my life and continue to do so. And I think all of us would be able to say the same thing. Now, I pray that you'll open your word up to us and help us to understand. And then, Lord, as we have already sung, to turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, that you'll help us to do exactly that, because he's the one who's worthy of our praise. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here I am again, taking my life in my own hands. Stepping out on a ledge by preaching on women being godly people. It would be easy to say, as I have said in the past, say what? Why would I do that? And how could I be that bold? Well, first of all, you have to be honest. I have to be honest. This sermon has gone through several ideations in its evolution. Pastor Ryan and Diana, especially Diana, know the struggle that I have had. I talk things through with them for ideas on yays and nays, and I approach the elders about having just one service today, because if you look at it, there are seven characteristics. 5 minutes each is 35 minutes. That's a long time. So I thought, well, maybe if we just had one service, then we can do that. But then they weren't real thrilled with that, and then I started thinking, well, I can't take seven qualities, do three in the first service and four in the second service, or vice versa, because it doesn't work. So I finally settled on the approach that I'm going to take today a week before my outline was due. And I do not, in any way, shape, or form, operate that close to the line. I set out to answer the question, what is a godly woman? What is a godly grandmother? A new mother, someone who's married, someone who's divorced, someone who has children, someone who's childless, someone who's single, someone who's a teenager, someone who's a young adult. And I took each day's reading from the Everyday Gospel devotional, and I looked for one main theme or thought in that devotion. I took that main theme and then began to search the scriptures for women who fit that description. And so that's what my purpose is this morning. In your bulletin are the characteristics of a godly woman that I found from this gospel reading, but also there are scriptures listed for you, and I'm hoping that you will take those scriptures and read them on the side, not while I'm preaching, that you'll read them hopefully even before you put your head on the pillow after a much deserved night's sleep. So let's ask the question, what is a godly woman? Okay, and there are going to be seven characteristics that I'd like to share with you. First of all, a godly woman prays. The May 4th devotional was about prayer, and so I chose Hannah to be my example. You'll find her in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And she was the mother of Samuel, and if you remember, she was barren. She prayed all the time for a child and was taunted by her husband's other wife. Each year, she would petition the Lord for a child. And she promised if she had this child that she would raise him and give him to God to be basically raised in the temple. This particular time, Eli, the high priest, saw her praying, thought she was drunk, rebuked her, and then when she turned around and said, "Oh no, I'm not drunk," he looked at her and he basically said, "Whatever your heart cry is, it would be answered." Her heart cry was to have a child. So the result of that was Samuel was born. We know that he was the last prophet. We also know that he anointed Saul and he anointed David as king. Hannah could have given up in despair. She'd been praying for a long time. She'd been praying for her son, but to no avail. But her persistence finally led to the birth of Samuel and, as we know, other children as well. So, with every one of these women, I'm going to give you what I consider a takeaway, something that I learned from looking at them. So here's my takeaway from Hannah. It is easy to quit. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit praying. Don't stop praying for your wayward son or your wayward daughter. Don't stop praying for your non-believing husband. God, in his timing, will answer your prayer his way and in his time. So the second characteristic of a godly woman is that she receives and gives grace. The May 5th devotional was on grace. And I chose the story of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 as an example of this. Jesus, we know, had taken a shortcut through Samaria, which that itself was totally off the charts. And he stopped at a well. But this was a day that one woman's life was going to be transformed. And as a result of her transformation, others would also be transformed. Well, the story tells us that Jesus was at the well and the woman came in the heat of the day, which immediately tells us she was an outcast among her own people. Well, first of all, Jesus passing through Samaria was out of sorts. Then asking for a drink of water was out of sorts because he was a Jew asking a Samaritan for something, plus he was a man asking for a woman for something. So everything was skewed. But there was a conversation that took place, and this conversation turned out like this mother or this woman never expected it to turn out. As she went back and forth with Jesus on different things, she finally said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, will he explain everything to us?" Jesus gave her a four-word answer: "I am the Messiah." That's all he said. She was given grace by the Messiah. Because watch what happens. The disciples come back. She heads into town. And she begins to spread and tell everyone about this man that she met out there out at the well. And then if you go to verse 42 of chapter 2, and I'll just go ahead and read this to you. It says, "They said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world.'" And here's my takeaway. She was shown and given grace. And then she wanted to be the one who gives it to others. The testimony that you share may be exactly what someone else needs to hear. And that woman shared her testimony with, "I found the Messiah," and they wanted to know about him. Well, there's a third characteristic of a godly woman, and that is that she worships with passion. And that is the May 6th devotion was on worship. And the woman I chose doesn't have a whole lot of gobs of scripture about her, but what is there to me speaks volumes. I've chosen Mary of Bethany. And if you want to turn to John chapter 12, we'll just highlight a little bit. Mary, or Jesus, has gone to the house of Lazarus, and whom he had raised from the dead. As he reclines, a woman comes up, and it tells us that she brings a very expensive perfume. This is verse 3, made of the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it and then wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with this fragrance. Paul David Tripp made a comment in his devotion. He said, no human function is more important than worship. What or whom you worship sets the direction for your life. That's for me and you. Whom we worship sets the direction for our life. Now, Mary was the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And if you remember, there was another time where Mary was... Martha was all busy with everything, all the preparations. And what was Mary doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. And Martha got all bent out of shape. And Jesus looked at Martha and said, Martha, Martha, you're so worried about other things, but Mary's chosen the best. Mary took some very expensive perfume here, wiped it on Jesus' feet, and then used her own hair to wipe it off. And you can just hear the scandal raised by Judas. How could she have done this? She could have sold this money and went to give it to the poor. Not that Judas really cared. He could have cared less about it going to the poor. All he cared about was lining his own pocket. Well, here's my takeaway. Jesus, by the way, put them in their place. But here's my takeaway. Worship involves two people, you and God. Focus on him, not on what others think. Mary could have cared less what Judas thought. Mary was there simply to worship and to show her love for Jesus. Fourth characteristic of a godly woman is she leaves a godly legacy. We talk about leaving a legacy a lot at funerals, but my question is, should I be doing something now about leaving a legacy? I've chosen two women for this. And you're familiar with them because we've talked about them. They come from two different walks of life, two different characteristics, two different backgrounds. But something changed their whole lives. And their lives changed the course of history. One of them was Rahab, whom you can read about in Joshua chapter 2 and chapter 6. And the other one is Ruth, who wrote the whole book is written about him. And you can read their whole story in one verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. We spent some time with both these ladies over the last, several months. Rahab, we know, was a harlot. She hid the Jewish spies while in Jericho. And she made them promise that when they came to destroy Jericho, they would take her. They kept their promise. So as you follow this, she married Salmon. They had Boaz, who fathered Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. And by the way, whose lineage was Jesus from? Line of David. All right, what about Ruth? Because wrapped up in that same story of Rahab is the story of Ruth, who married Boaz. And they were the father or the parents of Obed. And you can follow it on down the road. Now, Ruth didn't have the lifestyle problem that Rahab had, but she was a Moabite. She was a Gentile. And she was hated by the Jews. So it's ironic that Boaz, a Jew, would get together with Ruth, a Gentile. Now, these are two women whose lives start out one way. And due to the grace of God and the godly men they married, they left behind a godly legacy. What better legacy can you leave behind than to be involved in the legacy and lineage of Jesus? So here's my takeaway. We will never know who will cross our paths. It might be an enemy spy, like Rahab. It might be a strange man out of the blue, like Boaz. But whoever it can be, we have an influence. God leads people into our lives to change us so that we can be a part of the change as well as lead others to Him. The fifth characteristic is a godly woman exhibits humility. Humility is one of those virtues that the moment you think you have it, you don't. At least that's what someone has said. Paul David Tripp said, pride is the soil in which every other sin grows. I've chosen Abigail as my woman to exhibit humility, and you can find her story in 1 Samuel 25. And I think probably most of you know what that is. But let me, in case you're not familiar, let me tell you a little bit about it. David sent his men to Nabal, asking him for food for their protection of him, of his shepherds and of his flocks. Nabal was rude, ungrateful, and demeaning to David's men. And David basically said, okay, guys, hitch up your weapons. We're going after him. Well, Abigail hears about this, and she gets a wagon load of food together. She meets David along the way, and then she humbles herself by bowing before David and suggesting to him that this is not the best way to have a reputation. And I'll explain that in a minute. Now, David's grateful for Abigail getting involved, for interceding, and he promises her, we will not attack your husband. He didn't have to. When Nabal hears that David was coming on his way, he suffered a stroke, and the Bible tells us he laid in bed like a stone for 10 days before he died. Abigail's quick thinking saved her husband's life. But more than that, and here's your takeaway, her quick thinking averted a tragedy in David's life. He would have been shackled with murder. He's already had the problem with Bathsheba and Uriah. Now he's going to be shackled with murder. She boldly humbled herself before David and placed herself at the mercy of David by interceding for her husband. A woman who is humble before the Lord is a powerful force to behold. Number six, a godly woman stands hopeful. What's it like to be caught in a rat race that you want to get out of, but you can't? Or you get caught doing something and the judgments fly. Well, I've chosen two women for this one. One is the woman caught in adultery, John 8. The other one is the woman with the illness in Mark chapter 5. And I want to kind of briefly go over that. The woman caught in adultery, I think most of us are familiar with that. The religious leaders wanted her stoned, and she should have been. Except not today, because Jesus was around. Well, Jesus, we know, began to write in the sand. And when he looked up, all the men were gone. All the religious leaders were gone. Because he said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. And they all left. And Jesus looked at her and said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, they aren't here. And then he looked at her with love in his eyes, and he says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. The other example, and I'll tie these two together. The other example is the woman who lived in shame for 12 years. She had an issue of blood that made her unclean and unfit for the temple worship, unfit to be around. No one was to touch her or to be around her. Her only hope was Jesus. It's her only hope. And when she heard that Jesus was coming to town and she tried to get to Jesus, she couldn't get there. So what did she do? She reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately she was healed. And the Bible tells us that Jesus knew something had gone out of him. And he said, who touched me? And his disciples said, there's a whole lot of people around here touching you. He said, no, someone touched me. And the woman stood up and said, it was me. And Jesus simply looks at her and says, because of your faith, you're healed. Two women who see Jesus on a different plane. One is being accused of immorality. One is seeking healing from the shame for a physical issue. And here's my takeaway. The one's hope lies in the forgiveness of Jesus. That's John 8. Nothing you have done is beyond the forgiveness of God. The other one's hope lies in the promise of Jesus. She held fast to the promise that he would heal her. All she needed to do was touch his garment, and she would be healed. And that wish, that hope was granted. They both stayed hopeful, and they found out that Jesus was all they needed. Well, there's one last one that I want to talk about. And a godly woman gives glory to God. Taking credit for something is something we all tend to do from time to time. But the one I chose for an example is out of the Old Testament book of Judges. Her name is Deborah. We kind of glanced over her when we went through Judges. If you follow the story there, Deborah is the only woman judge mentioned in the Bible. One day she sent for Barak to call for 10,000 warriors from two tribes to fight a man named Sisera. And he looked at her and he said, I will do this, but only if you go with me. And she told him, okay, you won't get any credit for this. Well, if you read the story, it's pretty interesting. He fought Sisera's army, defeated them, but Sisera ran, and he made a mistake. He took refuge in Jael's tent. And if you know the story, he fell asleep, and Jael put a tent peg through his brain. Not a good move. Judges 5 is Deborah's song. It is called that, Deborah's song. She refuses to give praise to herself. She refuses to take credit for anything. She goes through the history of the people of Israel, and then she praises Jael for putting a stake through Sisera's brain. Her final words of the song say, Lord, may all your enemies die like Sisera. But may those who love you rise like the sun in all its power. And here's my takeaway. Deflect any glory from yourself and direct it to the one who is truly worthy of it all, and that is God. It's real easy for us to want the glory, male or female. But a godly woman will give glory to God. So let me recap them all. A godly woman prays. A godly woman receives and gives grace. A godly woman worships with passion. A godly woman leaves a godly legacy. She exhibits humility. She stands hopeful. And finally, she gives glory to God in all things. Ladies, let me challenge you to be a godly woman. The sermon is not for mothers. It's for all women. Oh yeah, by the way, it's good for us guys too to hear this too. But remember that as a woman of God, you have much to be thankful for. But most important of all, the best thing you can do is be godly. There's no better character reference. There's no better legacy to leave than she's godly. And when you lay your head down and they put you in a tomb or in a casket, can people look at you and say, she was godly? That's the important thing. Well, let's pray and then we'll be done. Father, thank you so much for the women in our lives who have meant so much. Our mothers, our wives, our grandmothers, our aunts, our sisters, neighbors, who have had an influence upon us. Our Sunday school teachers who taught us when we were children. Those who continue to lead us in understanding the Word. I just pray, Father, that you will open our hearts up to the lessons that we've been taught and help us to be godly people. I pray for every woman in this room and everyone who's listening that they will choose to be a godly person, a godly woman who follows you. And may their tribe increase. Be with them today as we honor all the women. Be with them this week as they go to work, as they go home, whatever they may do. May they choose to be godly people. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with us today. And you have a good day today. And have a good week. See you.